Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon, and I am pleased to say my guest today is, in full disclosure, I consider the mayor a friend. But he also, he will tell you, and I will tell you, friendship doesn't end with disagreements. Some of you should practice that. While I don't always agree, or he doesn't always agree with me, we still remain friends, and I'm very happy and proud of that. His name is Peter Marchetti. You probably have noticed he's graying. That comes with the mayor's job. But Peter, good morning, and thank you for coming on the show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Boy, oh boy, what a winter, huh?
I know, we've only just begun.
Yeah, yeah. I have to applaud the police, the fire, and EMS. That first storm kind of caught folks flat-footed. This second storm, what a wonderful job they did. I mean, don't come to me complaining because I'm not going to hear it. I refuse to hear it. The streets, the side streets, the main streets, and they still had ambulance calls and fire calls. So when you think about your taxes, think about your 6 minutes from a fire truck and firefighters coming to help you, EMTs. The police are a full-time police department, and the fire department's full-time. And we have a great couple of ambulance squads that respond lickety-split. So thank you, Pittsfield.
Well, I mean, I think two things. One, you and I have talked about this before. We need to do a better job of explaining to people what their taxes are going to pay for. And then I think the other part, and it's not like you can brag about it because your tax bills don't go down, but the tax rate has gone down 94 cents from the 2 years that I brought forward the tax rate, or the assessor's office brought forward the tax rate with the tax classification hearing. But property values are still climbing. And to some extent, we don't have much control over that. You know,
right.
I think the market is slowing down, and you don't have as many people doing cash deals no matter what, because there's been some regulations that's been put in place to kind of change some of that. But if your house is valued at $400 and someone offers you $450, I don't know a person in the world that would say, oh, no, I'll only take the $400.
Yeah.
And as soon as you take the $450, property values are reassessed based on the prior year sales. And so every one of those sales that sold for more than what they're worth changes the property values. And so, you know, there are concerns. And as we move forward, we're in the beginning stages of the fiscal year 27 budget. We really don't know what the federal budget would look like. The state will be putting out their budget in about 6 weeks. That'll be the telltale sign for us as to how good or how bad the year will be. And then we have to make decisions and continue to look for ways of saving money. And, you know, I'll kind of turn to the TOTR system, which was a really hard fought battle.
Really?
It really took 20 something years to get to.
Yeah.
And, you know, we can still debate on whether the size of the TOTR was too big, too small, just right. You know, the Goldilocks and the Three Bears, here we come. But we were able to save $700,000 that then could go to other priorities in the department.
Yeah.
And the public services budget didn't increase from fiscal year 25 to 26. It actually decreased, and we added monies to certain places. We need to find more cost-saving, cost efficiencies to put into place, because I don't think revenues are going to be jumping out at us, and expenses are rising across the board. Doesn't matter if it's you as the homeowner or us as the city. Things continue to rise.
Yep.
Price of food, price of gas, price of electricity, price of oil, you name it, we're still dealing with it. And so I don't want to do the sky is falling because we don't have
No.
all the data, but we will go into it taking very serious looks at what is in front of us.
And I think you, one of the things, and I don't say this kiddingly, or I say it very seriously. Your administration, and I think a lot of it is because of your past background as a counselor. You look into the nitty-gritty, into the meat and the potatoes, and you realize that we don't need the strawberry shortcake at the end. And it's not a vindictive thing. It's an economy thing.
Right.
And I think your banking background, your years on the council kind of prepared you to do this.
Yeah, I mean, I also think that, being mayor is, I think it takes three things. One, it takes some kind of background, financial or business management.
Yeah.
You have to understand how the system works. So being a counselor helps. And then I think your personality has a lot to do with it. If you're an introverted person, and you're, I'm about getting the job done, keeping my head down and crunching and making progress versus being extroverted, and being visible and having a lot of communication and still getting the work done, but getting the work done, I think, is really helped by communicating the work that's been done. Because you can do it and
Yes.
you think that everybody sees it, but if you're not really saying, hey, let me remind you, and I think we saw that when we were debating the homelessness issue. We
Yeah.
talked all about housing. Well, we have a pretty aggressive housing plan that we're working on for the city. And I think it's important that we continue to highlight that. And as we
I agree.
prepare for Inauguration Day, we're going to take the opportunity to do an inaugural address, but the inaugural address will be more of the state of the city. So
Oh,
there isn't the
cool.
need
I like
for a everyone needs to come out on a Monday night and hear a state of the city. We're starting a new year. We're swearing in a new city council. We're swearing in a new school committee. We're swearing in the city clerk. Why not take the opportunity to unify, set a vision? Let's talk about the accomplishments that we've had over the last 2 years. Let's talk about where we are currently, and let's talk about what our plans are for the future. And talk about them both from an education standpoint and a city and economic development housing standpoint, because we're at a place where we can change the face of the Pittsfield public school system. We have a new superintendent. We have a new, fairly new school committee. We're talking about middle school reconstruction or reconfiguration, which I think is a really good idea. We need to make sure our ducks are in a row, but just like with the toter system, communication, education, and then a very strong implementation are the three things that are needed in order for it to be successful. And as we're doing that, I think it's great that every fifth grader will finally be in the same place, getting the same instruction and the same model.
I couldn't agree more.
But that's not going to fix it. We
No.
need to be looking at pre-K to four. And
Yeah.
what are those programs? And how are we going to ensure that when all these kids arrive in the same building for the first time, that they're at the same place? And so you can't try to fix one problem without also looking and recognizing that you have another problem that needs to be fixed.
I had the good fortune of interviewing the new superintendent. It's going to play within a couple few days. I am totally impressed with her mythology of operate. I've worked through my old life and my career on a lot of strategic plans, and I'm working with a company now, and the guy is very proud of what they've written, and I should be. It's very well done, very well thought out, very well strategized, but it's not operationalized. And that, if I have any pluses and stuff, I've got a lot of experience at taking a pieces of paper with words on them and then putting them into action. And I have the same with the superintendent. I was very impressed with her and her thinking the things through, figuring out the buses, doing the survey of how many kids will be on the bus all the time, how many are going to take it occasionally or seasonally. Peter, I just can't say enough good. But I know what you're saying, too. There, a bunch of kids are going to be in this school. Some are going to be here, and some are going to be here, and some are going to be here. But in our school system, we have some experience at that with the junior high system, because they came from all the and I applaud what they're trying to do, and I applaud your support of it, and welcome to the new school committee. But as the late, great Jimmy McCaffrey used to say, I got sworn in on the third and sworn out on the fourth. So there you go. That's public life. But what a great step forward, I think, for Pittsfield.
Yes. And I don't think that we need to, like, in order to move forward, we don't need to trash the past.
No.
Right? I think we are where we are. Let's acknowledge where we are, and then let's move forward. And, you know, I think that we all have different visions and different ideas of what moving forward would look like. Yeah. And I think as we do the middle school reconfiguration, we're doing it because we believe it's what's best for students. But as someone said to me recently, if we don't have a support system for the teachers so that the teachers feel supported and the teachers can make that transition, then are we really doing something good for the students? Because it takes both.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. How for the listeners and viewers, think about what the mayor just said. Think of what the mayor just said. They are looking at every aspect of this transition. I'm not sure that when they went to junior highs, they went through all this work that they're going through. But I will tell you, we should be thankful we have an administration that we have. And Peter, the other thing I really want to compliment you on is not beating up the past. When they went to this other system, it was cutting edge. Open classroom. Mm-hmm. The Polish princess taught there. In one of the first years of open class, and that was a cat's meow.
Right. I was the year that Morningside opened, I was the first third grade class into Morningside. And, you know, I think.
Boy, am I old.
50 years ago, because, I mean, next year is 40 years out of high school. You know, life was a lot different.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks.
And so
could be 60 years out of high school.
Maybe 40 years ago, 50 years ago, the open classrooms were the new thing and they were effective. But as we've transitioned over the 50 years, the emotional support issues, the mental health issues, the
family to break
family,
up.
Right, that makes families, a lot's changed. And so is it open classrooms that's bad, or is it the life changed? And you know, the way we did police patrols in 1950 is not the way that we do patrols in 2025. Why did we change? Well, different things were happening. Right. And we had to adjust for the circumstances. And so, I mean, I think we're asking the question of where do we need to go? We know where we've been. And if where we've been isn't productive, then let's acknowledge that, let's move on, and let's make the changes that need to be made. And let's, you know, meet the students where they are. And, you know, recognizing that maybe not every student feels valued, feels loved, feels connected. And what can you do to make that happen, right? I mean, people will say to me at this stage in time, like, probably what is the memory that sticks with you the most for being mayor? And that's the first day of school, Morningside School, connecting with a student through the walk to school and then being challenged to a race and being real and doing the race. And, you know, the kid all day long is, whoo, I raced the mayor. That to me is something to cherish, because our job, you know, as adults, not as mayor, but as adults, is to create an environment for the future generation to succeed, because eventually they're going to lead.
And you know, again, I think you capsulized that very nicely. The world has changed in so many, so many ways. And the one thing I will say, you know, I went to PHS, North Junior High, PHS. And while I wasn't at the top of my class, it gave me the basics to do well in college when I come back from Vietnam, and to have a really fruitful career. What I hope in that with our Taconic High School, what a gem. And I can remember, and so probably can you, some of the battles that were just ridiculous to build Taconic. I mean, but look at it. It is a gem. It is putting out people who graduate and go right to work, making good money, staying in Pittsfield. A lot of them staying in Pittsfield because they can find employment. Lenco Armored Car. I mean, so many places. So I wish you and the school department and the new school committee and the new interim superintendent and all the staff the best during this transition period. And I would say to the public, to the parents, to the grandparents, relax a little bit. There's going to be hiccups. I've never put a new system in that there wasn't hiccups. As carefully and as well planned. Be supportive. Be supportive. In this attendance thing, I'm just going to say this. A lot of you know I ran the Violent Youthful Offender Program. Without question, I'm going to say 75 to 80% of them had horrific school attendance for a variety of reasons. So everybody's worried about the, what is it, school to jail pipeline. We got to get them back in the school then. So anything that the committee comes up with, or the superintendent or the mayor, be supportive of. We've got to reduce this poor attendance rate. Thank you.
I agree. But I think the first step is acknowledging that it exists and then move from there.
And I think, haven't we done that? I really think that I was tempted to write a letter to the editor, but I don't really like to do that stuff. But when I interviewed the ones that I interviewed and their excuse and their reasons, not excuses, the reasons for not going, one was their parents didn't put any value on education. One story I tell all the time, my mother got pregnant in the ninth grade for me. She dropped out of school. She's doing okay now. And others, Some of the time, their behavior cost them a reputation. I say this to educators: don't hang a label on anybody.
Right.
So, I mean, go ahead. I mean, you probably got labeled a good-looking guy, and you know, I got labeled old fat bald guy, but that's okay.
I think I got labeled a geek.
Oh well, hey, Peter. You know, when you think today. I to kind of paraphrase a conversation I had with the superintendent. I came to your defense and her defense the other day when all the people were saying, you know, we used to walk to school with snow up to our chins. Well, you know, Pittsfield, look at Lee didn't close school, or this one didn't close school, or whatever. Well, we have a lot of kids that walk to school. They have a lot of kids who bus to school. And I think we always have to take that. Do they have clothing? Is it safe? I will never be one to throw stones at closing school.
Well, I mean, I think that's we got to kind of look at that picture, because it is what it is. And the society's also changed from a legality piece.
Yeah.
So having a lawsuit slapped on you now is a lot harder than before.
Yeah. Harder or easier?
Well,
It's
easier.
easier to be sued today than it was.
As back
I think.
then.
Yeah. And you know, when you think about it, we're not a rural school district. We're an urban school district, and there's a big difference, I think. And to compare us with A to B is not only unfair, it's not right.
Right.
You know.
And I think that's a problem.
How about what well, you were saying about the budget? But the state budget is going to be dependent also on the federal budget.
Right. And we don't really know what that is.
No.
But we'll have to just look at the big picture. And make some decisions from there, if that
Yeah.
makes sense.
Well, it makes sense, but it would help if our Boston people would stop engaging with in a negative way with the people who hold the purse strings, but that's just me.
Well, I mean, I think that that's somewhat difficult, I think, in times for folks.
Yeah.
I think that it depends on what your outlook is, right? I started to govern Pittsfield, and all I can control
That's it.
is Pittsfield. If something's happening in Dalton, Lee, Lenox,
Yeah.
Maybe I can pick up the phone and call the town manager, but I don't have the control. What's happening in Boston?
Oh, I know. I
I
know.
can't control. I mean, I could pick up the phone and say, "Hey, can I voice my
Yeah.
concern?" What are you gonna do?
No, I understand it, and I feel the same way, but we're the people, the taxpayers will be the one that'll bear the burden. It's nice you have all, not you, it's nice that people have all these philosophies and beliefs, but in my opinion, when you're in public office, you'd be looking at the whole.
Well, right.
That's my opinion. And by the way, the views and opinions expressed on this program are mine and those of my guests. They in no way, Rep. Pittsfield School Department, School Committee, Peter Marchetti in the mayor's office, except for today, and Peter White in the city council. Yeah,
Right.
it's a tough time, Peter, to be in anything today. I mean, I don't envy people in public office today at all.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, it's not anything new
No.
in some sense, maybe more dramatic, but
Yeah.
we have had Democrats and Republicans. I think it's how do I want to say it? It's very rare to point to a John McCain being able to reach out to Ted Kennedy and create legislation and work together. And so the gridlock in Washington, this isn't new. It may be exacerbated as compared to, but it's nothing new, right?
It was never this. It's almost a blood sport there now. It's almost if Peter says white, Bill says black.
Well, yes, but there was always gridlock.
Oh, yeah.
Now it seems to be actually personal. More personal than gridlock. So I don't know. I guess that's the interesting piece for me.
Yeah, I get it's discouraging for someone like me because, as you know, I'm sure you're aware, Sil Conti and the speaker lived together and shared an apartment, a Democrat and Republican, Tip O'Neill and Sil Conti. So, yeah, I think that, well, I think it's all over, Peter. Don't you think? I mean, when you the level of disrespect that I saw the school committee and even your committee, you and the city council, there's ways of disagreeing with somebody without being nasty and mean-spirited. That's my I've been honest. Go ahead.
That gets headlines.
Well, I'd rather be a nobody.
You know, I mean, people will say to me all the time, why do you do this job? It's a thankless job.
Like me.
And I almost have to push back, right? I mean, when your mother or your friend tells you you're doing a good job, right?
Yeah.
Do you mean it? Or are you being nice? Right? And like you started the show, we have had many disagreements.
Yeah.
And so maybe you would say you're doing a good job, but right. And I guess that's okay. But when I'm out in public and I have people coming up to me that I've never seen before, and they stop to tell me, hey, you're right on this issue, or, you know, you're doing a good job. I think that those mean a lot. And there's more thanks than I ever thought there would be.
Oh, good.
Doing the job, right? There's criticism. You know, all you got to do is pick up Facebook. You can find out exactly what you're doing wrong. You know, in a lot of cases, I'll read it. And my question is, then what's the solution, right? It's easy to say, here's a solution.
Yeah.
Is that solution realistic? Is that solution affordable? Can you implement that solution? And who does it impact when you input that solution? People don't want to do that.
Yeah. And I think counselors are the same as you. They have to make hard decisions. And some of those decisions, you know, are going to frustrate some people.
Right.
For the good of the good of the whole, you got to make it like, let's go back again to trash. I mean, that to me was a monumental a decision that you had the fortitude and the knowledge, actually, that what you shared with people about the savings and all that to get it through. So
right.
I applaud you for what you did. And that wasn't not an easy thing and probably still isn't for some people. They just can't get by it. I think it's great.
I mean, I think that you have to try things differently. And, you know, when you're looking at budgets and you're saying, okay, what can you do? If you're not willing to think outside the box and do different things, then you know that you're going to get the same responses. So for me, that's what it's all about.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, as the show is going to air on Christmas Eve morning, what the spirit, what you did with the tree lighting and all that, Again, that really helps put people in the spirit. And when we come back from break, I do want to talk about the brightness of the future. We all know some of the challenges, and some of the challenges we haven't even foreseen yet. But we'll have to take those when they come. But until then, let's take a quick break. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial. We are simulcasting on PCTV. It is Christmas Eve. Be happy. For the Christians out there, it is the birth of the Prince of Peace. Let's try to bring more peace into all our lives. Please. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
Pittsfield Community Television has relaunched our website at pittsfieldtv.org with a new design to make it easier to find our live streams with PCTV Select, where you can watch live sports, city meetings, and more. Now it's simple to find our past shows on demand and future TV schedules. You can also quickly find information on how to be a member, our upcoming training sessions, and how to donate to PCTV. Check it out at pittsfieldtv.org.
What is One Berkshire? We're the voice of the business community, promoting the region and supporting local business. How do we do it? Through marketing, networking, sponsorships, and advocacy. Whether it's promotion to travelers and second homeowners, or opportunities to network with your neighbors and raise your profile, we've got you covered. So join today. Visit oneberkshire.com. That's the number one, berkshire.com.
The preceding public service announcement courtesy of WTBR and Lee Bank.
Hey, this is Mike Pezzo. Remember those tunes your parents told you to turn down? Better yet, remember those tunes your grandparents told your parents to turn down? Well, on Mike's Amazing Music and Oldies show, you'll hear sometimes oldies, sometimes blues, sometimes local performers, and a lot of rock on Berkshire County's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, Thursdays at noon. Tune in and be entertained and educated.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available. Online at sundrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back. WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we're back. The good-looking guy you see there, his name is Peter Marchetti. His first name is Mayor. His middle name is Peter. His last name is Marchetti. He's the mayor of the city of Pittsfield. As I said, and I always will say, I'm very proud of it. He is a friend. And I think we are the living example of friendship. We don't always agree. But at the end, we're still friends. And I think people, one of the craziest things I heard, Peter, I'm not going to my father's for Thanksgiving. I said, how come? He voted for Trump. I said, your father's my age. No one's guaranteed tomorrow.
Right.
Don't do something today you'll regret for the rest of your life.
Well, yeah. And I mean, we never know.
No.
Right? I've been through my ups and downs with losing people, and we all do. But a couple weeks ago, we celebrated my aunt's 80th birthday.
Oh, wow. That's
cool. It was probably the first time that all of us were together. So when I was growing up, there were eight of us in my generation. There's now only seven of us left. In my dad's generation, there was four. All four got married, but in recent days, only three were married. But we lost my dad's sister. My aunt lost her husband. We lost my dad. So there were like four people, my two aunts. So I had three aunts. So my two aunts and the uncle and my mom. So that was what's left of that generation. The seven of us left from our generation. And then, you know, the next two generations after us. And, you know, it was kind of like, wow, yeah. We don't get together enough. And, you know, life is flying. Yeah. And if I have 1 year left or 20 years left, what do I want that life to be? Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think people need to, this time of the year, sit down and take stock. Where are you in your life? Where are you in your life? And you know, for obvious reasons, I'm doing that. And what have I done that I'm sorry for? What have I done? And how do I want to be remembered as trying to make people laugh and be happy, not being an SOB, you know, and contributing, be a contributor. You know, we have RSVP. We have all these wonderful not-for-profits that can always use help. Trust me when I tell you, they can always use help. We got RSVP program in Pittsfield. If you are out there and you're a senior and you just don't sit and waste your life. You know, we found during COVID, and I got to thank Jim Clark. I know he's going to be retiring. When he was the head of the senior center during COVID, they made tens of thousands of phone calls to people just so that they had some community, some socialization. Because a lot of them live alone in an apartment.
Right.
You know, and you were very active during those times, too. And I Jim Clark did a great job. Our friend Chief Dolly is going to retire. I can say this. He was a cop's cop. Mm-hmm. And to both Jim and Chief Dolly and maybe others that I don't know about, the best. Thank you for your service, and I wish you the very best in the future.
Right. I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I wish you a new year that's a little calmer. And that you take a few more relaxing hours. I don't want to have to hurt your feelings. You're not a kid anymore. This is from somebody who really knows he's not a kid. I can't go up a flight of stairs. But what's Christmas mean in the new year? What do you foresee? Let's do Christmas. What does Christmas mean to you?
Well, I mean, for me, it's always been family.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not super, super religious, but recognize that meaning to Christmas.
Yeah.
You know, I think for me, what Christmas ends up doing is realizing the variety of people that we live amongst. And, you know, over the years as a counselor and as mayor, I know what Christmas is, right? I know all behind it. And if you're Christian, you get it, right? There's different variations, but, you know, being able to celebrate with some of my Jewish friends and to celebrate Hanukkah and to attend the Kwanzaa events kind of gives you like, hey, there's more to life than just this. But, you know, for me, Christmas is about spending it with family on Christmas Eve, spending it with family Christmas Day. And in some cases, family isn't blood. Family are closer friends who you know if they weren't with you, they'd be spending it home alone. And so it's kind of what Christmas has been for me. And like we've done the iterations and, you know, I was just having with the family a couple of weeks ago and it was like, you know what? We haven't all been together for New Year's Eve in years. Maybe we should plan a party. And growing up as a kid, I can remember going to my aunt's house and the first thing you would smell was bunya cotta when you walked in the door. Yuck. But like, hey, there's a memory.
That's right.
So for one night, can we relive?
That's right.
And honor the memories, but also like on New Year's Eve, you look into the future, right? What do I want next year? What you know? And some of it is, you know, personally, I want to succeed. I didn't run for mayor to flounder. But two, it's hard to succeed if you don't stop and kind of smell the roses and acknowledge the progress that you've already made. And so a lot of next year, you know, we have 112, 113 units of housing coming on board. Some of it, if this is airing Christmas Eve day, in the last week we opened or we'll be opening two housing places, permanent supportive housing units, right? Let's celebrate that success.
Yes.
Mayor Tyre started it. I finished it. I could have derailed it at any point in time. Chose not to. Huh. But we have another 140 units of housing that can come on board by 2027. So when we say, hey, we need housing.
Sure.
We know it. But can we acknowledge the work that we're doing to achieve the goals that we need to achieve? Let's look at job creation. What have we done? We created an opportunity for Jane Americas to move their second set of operations to the city of Pittsfield and expand here. We worked with the BIC to secure a grant for the tech hub. We worked with Patrika to give them a TIF to expand. We've worked with Elegant Stitches so that they could double in size and purchase a building. And there's three or four, maybe five companies that we're continuing to negotiate with to do things. That's what it's all about. Sure, it's easy to say, can you bring back Ingham Brothers and Newberry's and North Street of the
Walworth? Yeah.
It's not going to happen. But can we create something new and different that people are excited about that want to go to?
Yeah. And I think thank you for doing that on this Christmas Eve. Thank you for sharing. This is growth from 2025. 2026 looks to have a brighter future with bringing people. And I think for the people that are watching this, this just doesn't happen. A lot of work behind the scenes, confidentiality. You know, businesses want to talk first before they come in. And it takes, and I'll give him and his whole team, because he's built a team there. Vision. We can wallow and whine and cry about Pittsfield and about, well, what are you going to do about it? Mm-hmm. He's taken the ball. And I'm happy this Christmas Eve to have him announce everything that has transpired and what's in the future. Because if you try to live in the past, you're going to get very frustrated.
Right.
Because you can't go backwards. And this city, I've been all over the world. I've never been in a place that's been perfect.
Well, I don't think any of us have. And you know what? If I took this job thinking I'm perfect and I can make the city perfect, I'd be fooling myself. You know, I just recently interviewed the superintendent as well. I think we may have taped our shows on the same day with her. And you know what I like is that we have a roadmap. And you know,
well thought out roadmap.
And she is doing I think what she needs to do at this stage of the game. She had an onboarding plan. Mm-hmm. She's working with the team. She's expressing trust in the team, working as a team. I think that we need to continue to move and
positive.
Right. You know, I look at, you know, the first snowstorm of the year.
Yeah.
We got caught a little off guard. I wasn't a happy camper. But look, there's tons of other storms that are coming. And one storm doesn't make the winter.
No.
And we have to figure it out. And, you know, you look at the first storm, but then let's just look at Thanksgiving weekend or Thanksgiving week, right? They were out on Thanksgiving. They were out that weekend. They were out the following Tuesday. 12-hour shifts. It's demanding work.
It's dangerous work, too.
But it's kudos to them.
Yes, absolutely.
And, geez, they did it, right? Their families had to take a piece of that. And I think that that's the piece that, you know, I think there needs to be some realistic expectations that if you're in the middle of a snowstorm and it's coming down at an inch plus an hour, that the storm's going to win for a period of time.
Yeah.
And, you know, if it's 3 hours later that you can get out, it's 3 hours later. And if it's not safe to drive,
don't drive.
Don't drive. Obviously, there are some jobs that you still have to go to. And so, but then use caution. I think every year the first snowstorm that we get causes problems because we don't know that we need to take it down 10 or 15 miles an hour. We don't know that we need to give us extra time to get from point A to point B. We don't remember that we need to leave a certain distance between the vehicle in front of you so that you don't hit that vehicle. I mean, there's a lot to there. Right?
Yeah. And I think, too, here's some good news, Peter. In this past week, I've met two people or two couples that have moved back mm-hmm. from Florida. And when I was that frigid morning, I said, so what'd you think? Well, they said it's not a plus, the cold, but it's there's as many minuses down there as there are pluses here.
Sure. Like when I was helping move my mom back here.
Yeah.
And when I was in Florida, when my dad passed, the heat was crazy. You were stuck in air conditioning.
Yeah.
So, okay. All summer long, you can't go out because it's too hot. Or all winter long, you don't want to go out because it's too cold. But when I'm out, I can add wool socks and wool mittens and air mittens to attempt to stay warm. But when I'm out, there's really no way of staying cool, right? I mean, you can hit your swimming pool, but
that's hard. I found it very hard trying to use the laptop on that little floating pad in the pool. But no, you're right. And one of the persons said to me, a lady, she said, Pittsfield was my home. I'm not getting any younger. And, you know, the traffic, the lines in the stores. And she said, you know, I've been back home and it's home. And I guess the Polish princess and I, when I retired, we could have really gone anywhere in the world. Mm-hmm. But this is home. And I think sometimes we spend too much time beating ourselves up. Let's talk about the positiveness. What you just talked about, that should be a Christmas gift to the citizens of Pittsfield. I'll try to gift wrap it for you, but I don't know if I have it done tonight. One last question. You've answered it, but I want to pull. Are you considering running again?
Yes.
Yes. For the persons who told me you were sure he wasn't, he just said he was. You can apologize to me because he had told me once before.
I think I've been pretty vocal that I intend on running for a second term.
I hope so.
You know, I look at where we've been in the last 2 years. Sure, you can find faults, but I think we can match two good deeds or three good deeds to every fault. And we've got work to do. I think it's a little early to be campaigning for an election that's still 23 months away.
It's still early, yeah.
And, you know, I think on the national level, that's part of our problem.
Yeah.
You know, we're already jockeying to who's going to be running for president of the United States in the year of 2028.
Yeah.
And we haven't even finished 2025 yet. And so
I think too, for people that support you and don't support you, it's good to know you're still in the game, because some of the initiatives that I think you'll be starting will overlap. So
I think that's true. I think I've been clear to folks that two terms is a yes. A third term, God, that's like 12 years away.
Yeah.
Or 10 years away.
I would have to beat you.
10 years away. I can't even predict like what my health's like. I think after a certain point in time, you need a fresh set of eyes and a new vision. And so, you know, I don't want to serve 20 terms.
Well, that's good, because I think even with a third term, people will see you sitting out talking with the squirrels. But the scary part was you're going to hear them talking back.
Correct. Correct. My desire to run again.
Yeah.
That's my desire. We will need to prove our case and ask the voters to trust us for four more years. And, you know, at this stage of the game, I think we've got the platform to go out and do that.
Well, before we run out of time, I'd like to share and why I say he's a visionary. We at WTBR, we will be celebrating the first week in January, I think it starts the 5th, our 7th anniversary year. And I would be remiss and I would be unfair to not thank Peter Marchetti openly, Kathy Yan, Jake McCandless, Joe Curtis, and Sean Sear, Dave Cachet, Dave Wyatt, Jeff Facilio, Jody, all the people who have supported this initiative. With Peter's help and with Dr. McCandless's help and Sean, we saved WTBR. We saved it because the license was going to be given back. When did it prove its worth? COVID. We never missed a show. We would have the mayor on once a week. I would have the health department on and the doctors. And since then, we have a wonderful following. To those naysayers that kind of sniped at us, and we proved you wrong. We're now in Southern Berkshire. And I will have an announcement at that anniversary show. But Peter, I had to say that because you were the first one to come with me and agree with me and say, you know what, you're right, we should try to save this. And that showed me you are a visionary, and every day you're in office, you demonstrate you are a visionary. Do you want to give a Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa message before we go?
Sure. I mean, to all folks listening, we joke about it all the time, but the last 2 hours or last 2 years have been a privilege to sit at the helm of the city and make improvements and try to make the city a better city. But I can't do that without all of you. And, you know, none of us like criticism, but sometimes criticism needs to take place. As you say all the time, agree to disagree, but don't be disagreeable. And together, I think we can continue to chart a course. And so family comes first. And as you enter the holiday season, spend time with your family and friends. And, you know, people are only going to be here so long. And then all you have is memories. So celebrate them and yourselves and your family while you're here. And then also cherish the memories as you go through. And, you know, you may have lost a dad, you may have lost a sister, you may have lost a spouse, a mom or whatever. They're there with you, but don't lose sight of what you still have.
Excellent. And what Peter just said is right. No one's promised tomorrow. Never was that clearer to me than when I was in Vietnam. The worst Christmas I ever spent in my lifetime was there. The best Christmases that I've spent were with family. We always honored the Polish tradition of Vigilia, where we would all come together and have family. And if you're at odds with someone you love, a family member, a good friend, now's the time to make that phone call, have a coffee, make up. It's okay to disagree. We do it all the time.
Right.
But never once have we been disagreeable. So with that, I wish you all a very Merry Christmas, a Happy Kwanzaa, and my Jewish friends, Hanukkah has passed, but carry the light of Hanukkah with you the rest of this year. Thank you all so much for being so kind to me and this station. During the fundraiser, we did very well. We want to thank you. And Peter, to you and yours, Merry Christmas, and thank you for your friendship for all these years.
You as well. Thank you.
Take care, everybody. And as I say, God bless. And today, lift somebody up. Don't push somebody down. You'll feel better if you do it. We're all in this together. We need each other. Talk to you all soon. Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Drive safely. Bye, Pete.
See ya.